It's called Glass Onion. The title is slang for a crystal ball through which many mysteries can be solved. This song refers to other clue-laden songs in its lyrics.
I told you about strawberry fields. You know the place where nothing is real. Well, here's another place you can go. Where everything grows.
You'll recall Strawberry Fields continued, I Buried Paul in the fade outs.
I told you about the war is a mean man. You know that where is closest to me, man. Well, here's another clue for you all.
The walrus was Paul, a key phrase because for those who are still not convinced that the walrus in black was Paul, here are the Beatles being as explicit as can be. Can we doubt the Beatles themselves when they're purposely giving us a clue? This song then mentions Lady Madonna, which could suggest that it's on that song that the replacement first used his real voice. Even today, fans and critics call this the other voice of Paul, his Elvis voice, for lack of a better term. The song ends with another reference to another song from Magical Mystery Tour.
I told you about the fool on the hill. I tell you, man, he's living there still. Well, here's another place you can be. Listen to me. Just in a hole in the ocean. And make your tail join it.
You'll recall the drawing of the Fool on the Hill and Magical Mystery Tour, in which Paul's head is split. You know, he's living there still. Is Paul dead? We'll continue in just a moment. Don't Pass Me By on the White Album is thought to be Ringo's tribute to his late friend. For in the song, Ringo sings, I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive, but they don't arrive. I wonder where you are tonight. Don't pass me by.
I listen for your footsteps coming up the drive. Listen for your footsteps, but they don't arrive. Waiting for your knock, dear, on my old front door. I don't hear it. Does it mean you don't love me anymore?
One of the first signs of dissension in the Beatles were the fierce arguments between Paul and Ringo. Perhaps it was after one of these that Paul stormed out of the studio on that tragic night. And we're hearing of Ringo's sad evening at home, hoping Paul would come over to resolve their differences. He never made it. And Ringo tells us why.
Sorry that I doubted you. I was so unfair. You were in a car crash and you lost your hair. You said that you would be late about an hour or two. Well, then that's all right. I'm waiting here, just waiting to hear from you.
John's deathpan is I'm so tired.
I'm so tired, I haven't slept a wink.
First he describes his mental anguish over missing Paul. I haven't slept a wink, my mind is on the blink.
Mind is on the blink.
I give you everything I've got for a little peace of mind.
And fix myself a drink, no, no, no. I'm so tired, I don't know what to do. I'm so tired, my mind is set on you. I wonder, should I call you? But I know what you would do.
You said, wouldn't you want me? It's no joke. It's doing me harm, you know I can't sleep. I can't stop the brain, you know it's 3 weeks. I'm going insane, you know I give you everything.
I'm so tired, I'm feeling so upset. Although I'm so tired, I'll have another cigarette. and cursed the walls around it. He was such a stupid git.
You say, put me wrong, but it's no joke. It's doing me harm, you know I can't sleep. I can't stop the brain, you know, 3 weeks. I'm going insane, you know, I give you everything I've got for little peace of mind.
The real find comes right at the end of the song. A mumbling voice can be heard at the end of this cut and before the next one begins. When this mumbling is played backwards, the voice is very clearly saying, Paul is a dead man. Miss him. Miss him. Miss him.
The simplest
The voice is probably John's, though some people insist it belongs to George. Many people point to the song Blackbird. Again, notice the reference to black, as a clue to the new Paul's feelings on taking over. Listen carefully to the lyrics.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the line of a dark black night. Blackbird fly, blackbird fly, into the light of a dark black night. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
The granddaddy of all the clues comes elsewhere on the White Album. We'll have Revolution Number 9 in just a moment. Aspects of the White Album is a short little song that appears on the record right before Revolution Number 9. It does not appear in the list of song titles, nor do its lyrics appear on the lyric sheets.
Can you take me back where I came from? Can you take me back? Can you take me back where I came from? Mama, can you take me back?
These allegorical lines lead into the selection which convinces many people the Paul is Dead rumor to be something thought of more than just a series of coincidences. The track is Revolution Number 9. In the beginning of the song, one can hear two men quietly talking. They're saying, realize, I know all about it, George, and I'm sorry. Do you forgive me? Yes. Listen carefully.
I'll look out for you if I've realized. I've forgotten all about it, George, I'm sorry. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
This apparently is a conversation with the producer George Martin and could be about the placing of clues on the track. Then a voice repeats the phrase number 9 13 times. Listen again.
Number 9, number 9, Number nine. Number nine. Number nine.
Why should this phrase be repeated so many times and then again later in the song?
Nine.
When one plays this phrase backwards, the voice says something entirely different. In a day in the life on Sergeant Pepper, Paul sang "I'd Love to Turn You On," and now, as if in answer several years later, we hear a voice saying, in a Beatles song, "Turn Me On, Dead Man." Continuing frontwards on the cut, many strange sounds can be heard, including car horns, a car crash, and fire burning. Now, these clues are very difficult to pick out on the radio, so I'll leave it to you to listen to your own version of Revolution Number 9. In the middle of the song, a man calmly says, "He hit a pole. We'd better get him to see a surgeon." So anyhow, he went to a dentist instead. They gave him a pair of teeth that weren't any good at all, so my wings are broken, and so is my hair. I'm not in the mood for words. Find the night watchman. A fine natural imbalance. Must have got it in the shoulder blades. This monologue is not constant and is interrupted by horns, screams, and the sound of fire. Other dangling phrases can be heard, such as, "Take this, brother. May it serve you well." Some suggest this may be Paul passing on his fame, talent, etc. to Billy Campbell, the new Paul McCartney. When this song is played totally in reverse, more interesting phrases can be heard besides the famous "Turn Me On, Dead Man." While the crashes, screams, and fire can still be heard, after about 1 minute and 10 seconds, a faint "Let Me Out" can be heard, apparently from someone burning in a car. At 2 minutes and 30 seconds, the fire sounds are very clear, and we hear the phrase, "There were two. There are none now. Paul and Rita." At 5 minutes and 35 seconds, we hear someone screaming, "Let me out. Let me out." Depending on the quality of your stereo and headphones, other phrases can be heard, such as, "If you want it, you can prove it. I'm not in the mood for work or words," from John. This song and the whole White LP became the world's most backwards played album, and indeed opened up a whole new way of looking at recorded music. One thing should be mentioned in this context. It should be understood by everyone that before a record is finally pressed and released, it goes through a cleaning and checking by engineers, and this involves both frontwards and backwards playing of the tapes in order to edit out any stray sounds or noises. All Beatle records went through this process as well. Therefore, we can conclude that all the extraneous sounds and words we've just listed were checked out and allowed to remain on the record by someone in control of such matters. The final album of new Beatle material was Let It Be. The title itself suggests that perhaps the search for clues and hidden meaning should stop and all should just let it be. But due to the nature of the very album itself, it's very difficult. To begin with, it's the only Beatle LP framed in black. All four Beatles are on the cover, but only Paul's picture has a blood-red background. The others are white. The title song on the LP is appropriate as one of the final clues presented to us. The song sings about the Heavenly Mother Mary who comes to me in times of trouble, even on that fateful November night in 1966.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be. Let it be. Let it be.
And when the night is cloudy, there is still a light that shines on me. Shine until tomorrow, let it be. I wake up to the sound of music. Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom. Let it be.
This is Dave Fox. Special thanks to Joel Glazier, who wrote this program, and to you for listening. So the question remains, is Paul dead? We don't know. But does it really matter?
When you were young and your heart was an open book, you used to say, this ever-changing world in which we're living makes you give in and cry. Say, live and let die.
C93. We'll be discussing this stuff from now until 10 o'clock, taking some phone calls. A lot of people have been stirred up about this, and I'm sure there are a lot of you that have your own ideas on what was going on and everything like that. But right now, I'd like to introduce our guest in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks, Bill, for coming up. Bill King of the Atlanta Constitution, who also does Weekend Atlanta here on C93. And Bill is a renowned Beatles expert in his own right, and is going to tell us a little bit about his ideas and maybe prove some clues, disprove some clues, or whatever today. How you doing, Bill?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me. The interesting thing about this is it's almost impossible to prove or disprove any of the so-called clues that have been unearthed in the last 11 years since the Paul McCartney is dead thing first came to light. Hindsight, you know, is always 20/20, mm-hmm. and you can read into anything, just about anything you want to. And a lot of the interesting thing about a lot of the clues that they cite is that they don't cite any proof of them. I mean, these things that supposedly happened if you called this number, or, you know, what this business supposedly is, and or this could be that, or it could be this, you know. Well, could be's, you know, are just as vague as these clues are supposedly.
Circumstantial evidence.
Yeah. It's interesting that the guy that wrote this this special, Joel Glazier, lives up, I think it's in Baltimore or somewhere around there. And he is known, well known, but I think he might be more infamous than he is famous. I haven't made up my mind about him, whether he's cracked or if this is just his idea of fun, but Joel's singular obsession is the Paul McCartney death hoax, or, well, hoax, some people call it, or the clues, whichever way you want to look at it.
Paul McCartney death truth, some
yeah.
people think, right.
And about a year and a half ago, a guy up in Boston who publishes an occasional Beatle fanzine called Strawberry Fields Forever devoted an entire issue to this. He let Joel write the entire issue. And the first half of it was a lot like this special he wrote. It was very logical. He looked at all the clues, you know, and he presented a pretty convincing case. You know, if you stopped at that point, you might have thought, well, you know, there's something to this. But allowed to, you know, go without any controls, Joel then presented his other half of his theory, which he didn't get into with his radio special, which was that the reason Paul McCartney died, and they hid it, was because the Beatles had made a pact with the devil when they were starving in Hamburg. And the devil promised them success, you know, but he would come and get one of their souls, and McCartney was it. And it goes, you know, off the deep end from there. It gets into the devil's triangle and everything but Bruce Lee. And it, you know, it kind of makes suspect... either Joel Glazier, if he believes what he wrote, is a little strange, or he was just seeing how far he could carry this whole farce, you know, and make it so ridiculous. See
smoking
if anybody
banana
would...
peels for breakfast.
Right.
I don't know. I listened to the thing last week for the first time, and I remember when the clues first were, you know, first came to public light back in 1969 with the Abbey Road album. Went back and, you know, searched them through myself and did all that stuff. And I've got to be honest with you, you know, when I listened to the special the first time last week, it gave me goosebumps up and down my back. It really did.
It especially does when they're some of the things they're reciting from Revolution Number 9 that supposedly you can hear. I mean, if you know, just think about it for a moment, you know, somebody in a burning car, you know, screaming, "Let me out." I mean, of course, that's going to,
right.
you know, if you're in a macabre frame of mind to begin with, you know.
That's exactly what I was fixing to say. It's all according to what frame of mind you're listening to it in. If you listen to it in the frame of mind that you believe Paul McCartney is dead, then you're going to be convinced. The clues are going to be there, and they're going to be, you know, you're going to say, "This is it. This shows it right here." And then if you look at it with a skeptical frame of mind, you know, you're going to say, "Well, this could mean this, and this mm-hmm. could mean that." And it's like you and I were talking just a few minutes ago. You know, the Beatles, they put a lot of things in their records because, as you said, they were so... every piece of work that the Beatles put out was so critical to a lot of people. I mean,
They were amused and bemused by the fact that everything they did was analyzed,
right.
inside and out, backwards, forwards. And so they got to the point where they would throw things in, you know, because of that, just to have people... I mean, the song Glass Onion... that's what it's about. It's John Lennon sort of with one hand presenting something else for them to analyze and the other hand sort of slapping them a little bit and making fools of them.
Chuckling behind their back.
Yeah, right? And the whole, you know, the Walrus Was Paul thing, I mean, everything he throws in there, you know, he's just sort of throwing out red herrings. It's interesting This whole bit, Who Was the Walrus?
You got that song coming up, too, as a matter of fact.
What they don't mention, I mean, they like to cite the fact that he says in that song, the walrus was Paul. You know, although you can look at the lines before that where he said, the walrus, a mean man, you know, we're as close as can be, man. Well, that's, you know, a nice way of saying, you know, I am the walrus. I mean, that's as close as you can be. And some people also have theorized that this was a point when he and Paul were not always getting along, and that that was sort of a peace offering, sort of a way of saying, you and I are still, you know, the same, we're one, we're brothers. And it's interesting that on his first solo album, the Plastic Ono Band album, there's a song at the end where he details, sort of he goes through what he believes and what he doesn't believe anymore. It's the one that has the famous line, the dream is over, and another line, I don't believe in Beatles. And one of the lines in that is, I was the walrus, now I'm just John. So, you know, you can... They selectively cite clues. They don't cite the ones that don't fit into the theory. You know?
Right, right.
There's a, and then there's the OPD patch. I can't remember the exact lettering now, but last year Circus Magazine did a contest concerning this, and someone from Canada sent in the actual patch, and it's identical to the one that McCartney's wearing, and it doesn't say OPD. It's OP, and I can't remember what the third letter was. It was something else, and it is a police patch. It's a, the P stands for provincial is all I remember. It's a sort of like a state patrol type of organization, and the only reason it looks like a D on the album picture is because the coat is kind of folded.
Right.
So, but I mean, the patch that this person sent into the magazine is exactly the same, and it's not a D. I wish I could remember what it is, but I can't. So, you know, a lot of these things they cite, they use the big lie theory. You know, if you state something convincingly enough and long enough, somebody's going to believe it's true.
That's right. Well, we're going to play some Beatles music, and we're going to take some phone calls, and if you're a Beatles fan and you've got thoughts one way or the other, if you believe that Paul McCartney is dead and that it is a cover-up, or if you think that it's all a big farce and the Beatles were just having fun with our minds, well, give us a call at 741-0993. Going to be talking with Bill King from now until, around 10 o'clock or so, and playing lots of Beatles music for you. So give us a call, 741-0993. Here's one of the songs that probably one of the big clue bearers, according to Beatle theorist and the Paul McCartney is dead theory. This is I Am the Walrus, and see if you can, you know, make your own decision on this one.
Wondering, waiting, worrying about some silly little things don't add up to nothing.